Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 156. I'm your host, John Jordan. Don't forget to check out my daily email about blockchain games. You can find that at gamestx.substack.com. In this episode, I'm talking to JC Kim, who is the CEO at Planetarium. Planetarium is a South Korean mobile and PC game developer. It's actually been around since 2018, 2019, as we discuss, and it was set up to develop blockchain games. It's very interesting that JC is very into decentralization, and I would say ahead of his time, was very much into making a fully on-chain game, which is what their game Nine Chronicles is. So we go back to some of that history, some of that sort of vision of fully on-chain games, how Planetarium has been dealing with making its own blockchain, so it runs on its own sort of blockchain infrastructure. And actually, JC is sort of a believer that every game, every blockchain game should have its own blockchain. Not sure I necessarily agree with that, but he makes a good case, and it's very interesting to be playing Nine Chronicles, which originally was a PC game, now is available on the mobile app stores as well. So you can play the same version of the game through PC and get all the blockchain features, or you can play the mobile version through the app stores, get the same game, but obviously slightly different access to blockchain features as well. So a really interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to subscribe. Every week we are talking to the people building out this new blockchain gaming sector. So I hope you are enjoying that, and on with the show. Hello, everyone. Very pleased today that I have JC Kim, who is the CEO of Planetarium, a South Korean developer of blockchain games, I guess best known at the moment for Nine Chronicles, which we're going to definitely talk about. Great to have you on the show, JC.
Hi. Nice to meet you, and thank you. Thanks for inviting me in this podcast.
Not a problem at all. I've been looking forward to this. I have to say, I've been playing Nine Chronicles for a long, long time, so it's be good get behind the scenes and understand some of your thinking. But before we jump into the game, it'd be good, I think, to talk a little bit about how Planetarium sort of came about. So you, as far as I know, you were sort of in the first wave of blockchain games, probably 2018, 2019, I first started noticing you. So you've been around for as long as, you know, Sky Mavis and all those people. You're real sort of OGs in the space. So explain a little bit. How did blockchain games, you know, become an interesting thing for you?
Yes, we just started since 2018 because I just want to make a Bitcoin-like game. I love Bitcoin because, it's trustlessness. So anyone doesn't depends on the Bitcoin. So we don't need to know who is the Satoshi and who operates it, because we can read the code and we can read the protocol. So I think if we contain every game history on the specific blockchain, so we can make a Bitcoin-like game. So it means that the game players and community doesn't depend on the company, and so they. Because and they can operate it themselves to operate and then playing the game, and so that's why I just want to understand how blockchain is working, and I just want to implement the blockchain engines. That's the start point of our company and team. So basically, it was my hobby project. So, but after some of the other friends participate my personal open source project, so it changed to the company level projects and get some funding from seed funding from the other VCs. So that's the starting point of Nine Chronicles, and after 3 years, we can launch the Nine Chronicles in October, and lots of players are coming in, and so before the launching, we were very nervous, but we thought that there are lots of developers are already doing the their own fully on-chain project, but but nowadays there's no proper production level fully on-chain game yet. So we are very early pioneer about the fully on-chain gaming area right now. And so right now, so there are over 100k monthly active users are playing a game in Nine Chronicles, and so our team is around 60, and so working in both of Korea and Singapore. And so we are also working with the other gaming projects that hope that want to make the ambitious Web3 gaming project. Mm. So they also want to learn more about our technology and our go-to-market strategy. So we are openly helping with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That makes you're starting off saying I love Bitcoin. It sort of makes sense because it wasn't sort of clear in the early days. It seemed like your approach, which seemed very, to say, sort of open source, and I don't think we used the term fully on-chain games back then. I don't remember that being something we used. We said really in 2018, but
right.
I remember the first thing I remember. I think someone did an interview with you, and you were saying, sort of every game should have its own blockchain. That was very much your philosophy. Yes. I think at the time that seemed really quite
novel.
But now quite a lot of people think that, don't they? I mean, so you were sort of ahead of the game in terms of your vision for the gaming.
Mm-hmm. You mean that it says I have same vision?
It was interesting that not many people had that vision of being fully on chain. In the early days. So that's something that you've kept through the years.
Yeah. Right. So I think building a fully on chain game is a very hard journey. for us too. I still agree with that our original vision that everyone needs their own blockchain, and it should be good to the game project itself because it can be edited at the protocol level, so anyone can the entire the gaming experience by making their own blockchain their own Web3 gaming project. But right now, so we feel that it's very, very hard. Even there's no the other fully on-chain Web3 game that has its own mainnet right now. So still, the lots of blockchain toolkit is out, and so anyone can easily make their own layer one at this moment. But but there are still a lot to do to make a fully on-chain game. It has its own mainnet. So we also prepare lots of things that that help the developers who want to fully on-chain game. So before that, so there are very few developer resources for creating a fully on-chain game right now, and still now. So we are now we are now developing much more tutorials and developer resources for developers. And I think by end of the years, there are at least four or five fully on-chain gaming projects that has lots of monthly active users will be out, and we will definitely take some part of helping them.
We are going to talk about Nine Chronicles, but again, that was an interesting thing in the early days, and I guess it's still the case that you were building sort of infrastructure and technology for other game developers. You sort of want to be a platform for other people to use your code, isn't it? So how have you found that? Because making a game is hard, making a blockchain is hard, making a blockchain for other people to use to make their games is probably hot. Even more hard.
Yeah, very hard journey. So lots of our developers are burned out for doing this great. but we are still working for all of that. That's our aggressive objective for a proper Web3 gaming experience to the public. So we are so the good thing is that so 3 or 4 years ago, there's no person that agree with us. I remember that one of the major investor said that they said no to our team to invest because they think that it's impossible. So building a good game is very hard. Building a good technology is very hard. And it's almost impossible to that. So they think that I'm saying lying. Yeah. So that's why they rejected us. But right now they are one of the major investors because after the launch of Nine Chronicles, they they reviewed our full source code and our full technology, and they admit that so we are doing real, we are building real things, and and so we are now getting a more so partner that so you that is hope that is hoping to adapt our technology and our resources to their game project right now. So it's very happy, but still we needed to, so the lot to do we needed to do is that we needed to make more so resources and more more community for building the fully on-chain game right now.
Yeah. I guess I probably know the answer to this question, but as time has gone on, and you know, in the early days it was hard for you to build your own blockchain, and as sort of things like, you know, L2s for, you know, Ethereum have come about, so we have Arbitrum and Optimism, you know, open source projects as well. Was there ever a temptation for you to say, we'll stop doing our own blockchains and start to use some of these sort of off the shelf blockchains? Because that, in a sense, that saves you a whole bunch of sort of, you know, stress and challenges, and you get to use these other people's tools. But was that ever, did you ever think about that, or were you always very firm that you wanted to build your own?
Basically, I'm very positive about that. So layer two or the other, so layer three, so architecture, because so I think so fully on-chain experience itself is very important. And so building their own blockchain is one of the way they can choose. And also, so they, so layer two is one of the other options they can check, they can choose a very easy way to build their own, their own fully on-chain game. But it needs some of the other tokens, and they have some limits to expand and build their own so gaming experience, because all of the transactions still need some ETH, so small amount of ETH, and there are some limitation of their layer two protocol itself. But I think so some type of fully on-chain game is enough to go, and they can easily create a fully on-chain game based on the layer two, and they have some the other marketing benefits from so building a fully on-chain game on layer two, because the layer two project has lots of so great marketing and publishing initiatives, and they can get some great support from there. And so I think so building fully on-chain game itself has easier than before. So they can choose lots of ways to do that. So they are choosing so Cosmos SDK, Liplanet, or building on a so Arbitrum or using OpenStack. So I'm happy with that, basically.
But Planetarium was never, you never thought we'll go and use some of those L2s and not have to build our own blockchain. You were
maybe
always
yes.
maybe okay.
Because so we are building our own tech stack, but the I don't want to limit ourselves to our own tech stack. So I just want to use all of them.
Okay.
If some projects so we have a good fit, so we can use layer two, and we can use OpenStack, or we can use layer ones, just building a fully on-chain game on Ethereum directly. So that's one of the cool ideas, I think.
Okay, let's talk about Nine Chronicles. So that's your first game and your second game, sort of your only game. And in some ways it's sort of, you know, when you think about a South Korean developer, what game are they going to make? Then it's, you know, you would think of something like Nine Chronicles. It's a sort of an idle style RPG. You know, South Korean developers are very good at those type of games. So was that the reason you chose that style? Did you have experience in making RPGs before? Was that how did Nine Chronicles as a sort of vision come about?
So we have two reasons to make the Nine Chronicles as an idle role-playing game. Because one of the first reason, so I love idle game. Even 12 years ago. The time I just played a web-based idle role-playing game. And at the time I was shocked because at the time I loved action games. I need to. Whenever I thought that when I play a game, so I needed to some some measuring our timing, good timing to pairing our text. Yeah. It's a very core gaming experience for me. But when I firstly play a either game, I just feel that it has very so unique gaming experience that has so it's like a management simulation game. Like so I need to decide which item should I get for clear the next stage and or I which timing I should sell my existing items to the market for the competitive benefit. So that so at the time I learned that either RPG can make so very funny fun. So I just want to make them. And second reason is that I just want to make a fully on-chain game. And at the time, so there are lots of limits for creating a fully on-chain game. So the genre that I can make is very limited.
Okay.
So that's why I only could choose so simulation role-playing game, side role-playing game, or some type of the puzzle game. So at the time, I just choose the so game basically. Based on the technology itself. Which one can be implemented based on my technology? So that's a decision point what I thought about. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. And when it first came out, I was playing it, and it was a PC game, and I guess you had to make it as a PC game because you're making a fully on-chain game. You're having sort of the blockchain integrated into the PC client. But it always felt like it was more of a mobile game in terms of the genre to me.
So the reason why we launched the PC version first is that we just want to launch the fully decentralized version at day one. And for this, I needed to install all of the nodes to the user's client. At the time, so when the client launched, the node of Nine Chronicles also launched at the background. And it connected each other's. And so technically, there's no the other central nodes to communicate with. But so I think the PC user base is not very huge, and there are lots of technical limitation to make a proper P2P communication if we only choose the local node communication. So that's so anyone operate their own Ethereum node. So for use Ethereum. So that's why we launched our own trustless node. So it is trustless, but so they can use our nodes by remotely connecting. And at the time, we acknowledged that. So we don't need a PC right now. So why don't you make launch our mobile version? So that's why we expand our version to mobile at the moment. And last year, so we successfully launched some Nitronics M.
One thing I do, I actually got some videos on YouTube about it, but I do remember that early PC version when you were playing it, you were just getting a lot of reorgs in the chain the way the infrastructure was set up. You were running the client in the PC, and sometimes it worked fine, and then sometimes it sort of you realized that you were on an orphan, or it couldn't find the chain, or anything like that. So, I mean, that's a long time ago now.
at the time, we so our consensus algorithm was the proof of work, and so there are some real world situation.
Okay.
So there are lots of real world situation are happened, and so that was actually one of the consensus, but most of gamers hate them.
Cool. Okay, and you sort of so the original Nine Chronicles is still going, and that's been there for a few years. And then as you sort of mentioned there, the sort of big news last year was Nine Chronicles M, which launched, I think, in October or November. And it was a bit confusing because when it first announced Nine Chronicles M, then we thought the M was for mobile because it was the first version going on mobile. But it wasn't for mobile, was it? It was a bit more complicated than that. So, yeah. So do you want to explain how you were thinking? You had Nine Chronicles original that had been working on PC for a number of years. And then how did you think about like a new, because Nine Chronicles M is sort of exactly the same game in terms of the gameplay, mm-hmm. but different right, in terms right. of the blockchain. So can you talk a little bit about the thinking behind how you ended up with these two products?
Yeah, just so basically, I just want to show the bigger than existing the product. That's why I just rebranded as M because I just. Yeah. Want to explain a lot for, so what we achieved so before so rather than before, so we just want to explain so we our multi-chain expansion and also want to explain the multi-planetary system that's firstly introduced in the fully on-chain area that leverage the feature of the future, the fully on-chain the game that has its own mainnet, because we can launch our own another layer 2 based on the same code. I just to emphasize that things. And the third thing I also want to emphasize its own I forgot. So what's the last name? What's about?
You'll come back.
Multi-planetary and multi-chain and multi-platform. And so, so mobile is actually included in the multi-platform. But so other than mobile, so we also launched the macOS version. Mm-hmm. So it's supporting Windows, macOS, Android, and iOS. So I just want to explain in containing all of these builds because our team take a lot of time to support lots of platforms. So that's why I mentioned so like that.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify for people, so what happened when Nine Chronicles M went live, that Nine Chronicles M as a game is available on PC and mobile. The original Nine Chronicles that was just on PC is now also available on mobile through the same client. But the sort of interesting bit is they both run on a different blockchain. So even though they're sort of the same game to play, all the assets are on different blockchains. So it's sort of like having the same game running on Ethereum and, I don't know, Avalanche or something. And you can't. So the old Nine Chronicles original accounts can't be moved to Nine Chronicles M. You sort of have to start again from scratch. So you almost have, two games. How's that sort of worked? Because have you seen, people still playing the original game? Because obviously people have some people put a lot of time and resources into that game. Are people playing both games? Are they playing Nine Chronicles and Nine Chronicles M? Obviously new players are just playing Nine Chronicles M, I guess. But you've got sort of these different sort of audiences now. How's that sort of working out?
So original network, so we named it as Odin, and mobile client also available to connect the Odin network too.
Yeah.
So we can support both network and all of the platform. But we thought that original Odin network has lots of old users, including me. So so they have a very powerful equipment and very competitive. It makes some problem when we invite new user base to the other area, because when they come to the new places and they want to play very competitive, they face that. So the OG members that has huge powers and they just leave the game. we are afraid about that. And we want to keep their original network's value, but we just want to make the new places to working, fighting together from zero. So that's why we build new layer 2 system named Multiplanetary, and Heimdall network is the so new network based on this technology. Basically, this technology has a huge potential because so technically anyone can launch their own layer 2, and based on the customized so settings, it means that anyone just want to make their own on the so free server like that, like networks, so they can launch and they can invite the other users or their own so guild members to their own networks to provide some unique experience to each others. And so by this way, we can expand our so gaming experience various way, and also it serves our capacity issues. So theoretically, so it expands infinity level. At one network, it technically can contain around so less than million some monthly active users, but so if we expand the network, so we can contain the twice. And so if we have a three networks, it can expand as a triple. So in this way, so we can make a Nine Chronicles, so the limitless game to the other users. But so most of the other older users are concerning that if we are abandoning some Odin network or not. So we are guaranteeing that the Odin network is just a layer one network It would be the only fully decentralized proof of stake network, and the other network will be the layer two networks that depends on the security of the layer one. So it means that we took the Odin network to the central space of the network, and even we expand a lot more networks, they will definitely depends on the Odin network, and Odin network has its own unique value whenever we deliver the new contents. So Odin will has a first level benefit and content space, and they it will help the other networks after they grow.
Okay.
So that's what we are doing right now.
Well, that makes sense. And in terms of the, have you found it on the mobile side? Because obviously we're starting to see more blockchain games go through the app stores. And then obviously Apple and Google have some rules now that you have to obviously fulfill if you want to go through those app stores. But we're starting to see more games do that. And we're starting to see some of the sort of the way developers are dealing with those rules, but it's still the case. You're one of the more sort of you're a fully on chain game to some degree. So, yeah. So I guess that's been a harder process for you to sort of think about that.
Yeah, so we carefully deal with the App Store and Google Play Stores for launching this game, but basically our strategy was that provides in-purchase experience to the users, and so then so Google and Apple were okay with that because if they can grab the 30% of the revenue, it would be okay. But the most challenging thing is that we can provide the in-purchase, but how to do that, because it's a fully on-chain game, it's a fully decentralized game. So even if we can provide something, so if it is it has some exclusivity for the dev team, it would be very bad for the core value of the Nine Chronicles, because we want to make the game that doesn't depend on our team and doesn't take any exclusivity to our team. So that's approach we took is providing some great staking values, so staking rewards to the public, and we also stake our own token to the network, we sell the staking reward to the to players as a in-app purchase. So users also they also have some amount of NCGs which is provided several years by Protocol's revenue reward model. So they can earn some staking reward. So we don't have any exclusivity about that. So they can also so get some reward and they use by the protocol. And we also, but some users are very new and they don't have any NCGs, but they but they want to use the staking reward, so they can buy the using the inner purchase from us.
That's kind of elegant. Yes. So basically what you're saying there is people can buy anything you can buy through the in-app purchase system, which is just in the mobile app, not the PC app. You can also get by staking the token, the Nine Chronicles gold token. You can stake that, and you also get the same items that you get through in-app purchase. You can also get through staking. So either way, if you're playing on mobile or PC, you can sort of get the same rewards, just different.
Right, colors. Right.
And how are you actually? I was going to say, how are you finding it? Are you because I play pretty much every day, and I play on mobile and PC, sort of just depending on sort of where I am during the day. But do you find there are, is that how people are playing the game, or are people just on one platform? What's the sort of feedback you've been getting for multi-platform?
So firstly, they start using mobile version, but they are also install their PC version, and they are mostly both using both of the platform, because PC version has its own value, and so mobile version has its own value. So eventually, so they are using both right now.
Okay, good. I would say the as you say, so the mobile one is sort of limited. So there's a whole bunch of features in there, notably sort of the peer-to-peer marketplace where you can sell in-game items using the currency. That's not in the mobile one. The mobile one has an in-app purchase shop. And if people really want to get involved, there's a whole bunch of other things you can do on the PC version where you have your own set of Ethereum NFTs, these cats that you can, these cat characters you can use in the game, and you can also stake those and you get another currency, and then you can get these. I won't go through the whole thing. I've done loads of videos on it, so if people are interested, check out my YouTube. But it is quite interesting how you have this really quite deep blockchain project on the PC side of it, with pretty much every blockchain thing that someone would want. You know, you've got NFTs and staking of tokens and all this sort of stuff, and then quite an accessible mobile version where people can just sort of come in and you wouldn't even really know it's blockchain. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, there are, you know, you talk about private keys and stuff maybe a little bit. So it's, I find it sort of really interesting. It's got sort of, for me, the best of both worlds, but it's a, you know, it's sort of.
That's our intention. If they doesn't know about what is blockchain and what is the blockchain games and what is Web3, doesn't care that they just download and play the mobile game, so without any hurdles. And if they want to win more, then insert PC version, and we can unlock lots of things that Apple or Google is restricted. And so they are learning more about so staking and NFT things by playing a PC game, and they are getting more benefits from there.
Yeah, cool. And You said you've got about 100,000 MAUs at the moment across both games. So are you sort of, are you happy with the launch? How are you thinking about that?
It was a very successful launch. And so before that, so our MAU was consistently growing, but at the time, at the time before the mobile launch, it was around 50K as monthly active users, but it goes twice level, and so it's slightly down. But the interesting thing is that because of the mobile launch, there's some of the regions growing a lot recently. Yeah. So they are gaining some more users at this moment, and so we are getting a strong attraction at the long-term level. And so I'm very happy with there are lots of growing the incoming NCG staking at this moment. Okay. So they are increased, they decided to increase their staking level to involve a lot more staking and staking reward. And so we recently a few weeks ago we launched our pilot guild program.
Yeah.
And so we our expectation was originally about 10 or 20 guilds based on our user base projections. But so there are over 50 guilds. So that's far more than our original expectation. So we are very happy with that, and so expecting a very positive the future of Nine Crunch's community. So after the mobile launch.
And you just mentioned there different territories. So can you give a bit of a geographical breakdown of where you're seeing sort of audiences coming?
So mostly our user base is from the Asia region. Yeah. And so the funny thing, so the interesting thing is that most of the other Web3 gaming is some 90% of a farmer-based user base. But yeah. So we are very harmonic user base structure. So our revenue is mostly from the Korea and Japan region, and they are spending a lot, and they are involving a lot to the games ecosystem. Yeah. And the Vietnam region, so they are also farming, and they are also spending too. And the Indonesia or the other Southeast Asia, so they're actively playing the game, and they started to spending in the market right now. So we are a very harmonic Asia and Southeast Asia as a user base, and they are interacting actively on market right now.
Good. Excellent. Well, I think that is a good overview of what you guys are up to. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you to you for watching, listening to the podcast. Obviously, the first thing you should be doing after listening to the podcast is going out and downloading Nine Chronicles M from the App Store. So you can download that. Obviously, free to play. You can get straight into the game and see what we've been talking about. But also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. So every week, we are talking to the people who are building out this new way of playing games and enjoying games and sometimes making money out of games. We are on a weekly cadence now, so don't forget to subscribe and see what's going on. And thank you for watching this one, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.